Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
WTN. 105 on Supertalk 99.7, WTN, Dan Mandis Show. I think we finally figured out what is going on with my voice today. You know, Michael had those damn birds in here today. I don't know if you saw the pictures. I think it's on the Facebook page for WTN. But Michael had these amazing exotic birds. And originally, I didn't think anything of it, except that they were really kind of cool-looking exotic birds here in the studio. And they're flying around. Not flying, but they're flapping their wings and doing whatever it is the birds do. But I think even Michael said at the tail end of his show, he was having trouble breathing. I wonder if that's what's going on with my voice. I think I literally have about an hour and 45 minutes left with my voice. Now, sadly, that leaves a very quiet last segment because I've got 2 hours of the show. But going to try and get through it here on WTN. Nicholas Cruz. I've been talking about this guy. I can't tell you for how long. He's, of course, the mass murderer, killed 17 people. And, you know, it's funny. I opened up the show talking about a number of different things. And one of the things that I talked about was this condom challenge or whatever it is that these young people are doing these days. And I hate to say it, but this is yet another one of those stories that shows just how stupid some young people are. Because as we mentioned yesterday, this guy has been receiving fan mail and love letters. And listen to some of this. You know, I guarantee I'm going to read you some of these things, because now they're giving us an indication as to just how fawning these love letters are. And you think, you know, good Lord, you should see some of the really nasty, hate-filled letters that we talk show hosts get. And all we do is talk on the radio. This guy killed 17 people, and he gets letters like this. On March 15th, a Texas girl wrote, "I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. When I saw your picture on the television, something attracted me to you. Your eyes are beautiful, and the freckles on your face make you so handsome," she said before describing herself as white, with big brown eyes and 34 C-sized breasts. And really skinny as well. She added, and inside the envelope covered with hand-drawn hearts and happy faces as well. Now, clearly, I think we can say that anybody who is an admirer of Nicholas Cruz and is attracted to this guy, I think that clearly that person is more than likely nuts. Is that okay to say? Clearly that person has a screw loose. I'm not going to say that they're as crazy as Nicholas Cruz is, but that is obviously, I would say, a person who has some issues. And so now you've got all of these people who are dealing with Nicholas Cruz, including Broward County Public Defender Howard Finkelstein, who is the one that is, you know, telling all of us these fawning fan mail and love letters that Cruz is getting. And so now he is telling the South Florida Sun-Sentinel that some of these letters, and there's piles of letters. And now what he's worried about is that every day boys and girls are starting to view this guy in an elevated way, looking up to his fame and notoriety. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that this is a story that is not unique. I mean, we all know that Charles Manson, I think I did an interview early on. It all is coming back to me now. Early on, I did an interview with a psychologist, and I forget who the mass murderer was, the killer was, but there was a story about some sort of a mass murderer who was getting these kinds of love letters. This is not unique. This happens all the time. So whether it is a Charles Manson or, you know, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, who I think the Night Stalker's dead. I think, hey, Bell, Google Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Is he still alive? You know, when I lived in...
I'll find out. Johnny and I were talking about his drug use.
I saw Johnny was in. He's not mad at me, is he? Earlier.
No, I didn't quite get to that point yet.
Okay, good. Anyway, first of all, I was kidding about Johnny B's alleged drug use, which I'm sure he doesn't do. Anyway, so Richard Ramirez, he used to get all kinds of love letters and that kind of thing. I mean, just you name it. Richard Ramirez, in case you don't know, he was from L.A. He
died in 2013.
Stalker. He did. Okay. I thought he was dead.
No. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. That was when he was married. Hold on.
Richard Ramirez is married? Wow. You know, I guess if you're, you know, going to marry somebody and you want to marry somebody.
I'm sorry. The end of his marriage coincided with his death.
Thank you, Bell. I can always count on you. So appreciate it. Anyway. Here's the bottom line. People like Nicholas Cruz, they are always getting these kinds of love letters. But what this guy Finkelstein is worried about is the fact that this guy Cruz and other people like him, people are going to start looking up to them for their fame and notoriety and the fact that Cruz was bullied. And so now there are social media sites, Facebook and social media groups that are in support of Nicholas Cruz. Finkelstein, the public defender, says, in my 40 years as a public defender, I've never seen this many letters to a defendant. He says every now and then somebody gets a few, but nothing like this.
To cut in on you real quick, Ramirez yes. married one of his fans. He married her in prison, and she was one of the people that was writing him letters. So he ended up married to the woman.
Now, I wonder if they have conjugal visits. Like, does Cruz get a conjugal visit? Like, clearly.
I would imagine not because of the crime he committed.
Right.
I think you're in maximum security or something like that or in solitary, you probably don't.
Yeah, I don't know how the whole thing works. I mean, that was a big debate way back when. Yeah, so now people are worried about the fact that this guy Cruz, people are looking up to him. Another letter, by the way, I reserve the right to care about you, Nicholas. The note was written on a kitty-like greeting card showing a furry bunny holding binoculars looking out at the ocean. See, these women that are writing these letters, I mean, clearly these women are nuts. You know, if you married Richard Ramirez or somebody in prison, I mean, I guess, you know, there's less time to be with each other, so you're not going to argue, I guess. There's that point. I mean, there's been some of these guys that have impregnated their wives while they're incarcerated in prison. That's one of the conversations that have been had is, okay, so let's offer up, you know, some of these mass murderers or, you know, drug sellers, you know, all these drug lords. Let's give them conjugal visits. Then they can knock up their wives. And then, of course, their wives are on the public dole because now they're pregnant. And so now we're supporting his taxpayers, this bad guy in prison, and his kid that was conceived during a conjugal visit. I mean, how is that fair to anybody? So, yeah, I think that anybody who is writing these letters and all this to these people like Nicholas Cruz and Cruz himself, they've clearly got a screw loose. I think that they obviously do. The troubled young man, however, has not seen any of his fan mail because he is on suicide watch. You know, there's a part of me that would just love to see him suicide out, but I also want to make sure that he ultimately understands the pain that he has caused a nation, the pain that he has caused the 17 families who lost their family members and loved ones. I really would. I want to make sure that he has, because he's, what, a 19 or something like that? So, yeah, 19 years old. I want him to spend a lifetime in jail and a lifetime of regret. But at the same time, you know, it's also annoying to me that, you know, he's going to live out his years on three meals a day.
It's also kind of sad to think about the fact that if people had been talking to him like that before right. he did these things.
Yep.
There might be 17 children still alive instead of bullying him and treating him like he was garbage.
Yeah, and that's where I was going next, because you're absolutely right, is we know that this guy, and part of these, the point of some of these Facebook groups and some of these social media groups, is they're trying to say that the bullying that Cruz had to endure when he was in school, well, that led him to what he ultimately did. And so now we have a lot of these folks. And by the way, for the record, there is absolutely no justification. I don't care how much this guy was bullied. There's no justification for killing 14 students and three adults. But yeah, you got these Facebook groups, and they're all in support of this guy. Also, a particular concern is Cruz's younger half-brother, Zachary, who has been telling the killer about his newfound fame before he himself was arrested. Zachary was for trespassing at Marjorie Stone Douglas High School. So now we've got the assistant state attorney, Sharonelle Murphy, there in Florida. Probably most concerning, she says, is Cruz's contact with his brother in jail since his incarceration. So, you know, the message is, and this is where parenting comes in, because I know that there's people that are sitting here saying, well, shut up and stop talking about it, Mandis. But this is where parenting comes in. Because this story went viral the last couple of days. We know that this was something that was read by and consumed by a lot of folks in the media. So your job as a parent is to say, listen, you know, one, if you're being bullied, don't do what this guy did. There are other alternatives, clearly. But the problem is, and the worry is, that this guy, Cruz, he's getting all of this adulation. And so it's nothing new, but the more that kids see this, and the more that Cruz, as he is now on suicide watch in a prison, he's realizing now that he has all this adulation outside of that prison, outside of the four walls. And so the message is, okay, well, you can be loved just like this guy if you do what he did. And that clearly is not a good thing. Said Captain Obvious. Thank you very much. So people are freaking out about this. Anyway, they say that he's most concerning is his contact with his brother. He has been heard, Cruz has, and observed discussing how popular his brother is now, that his face is everywhere and his name is national. There's discussion of starting some sort of a pen pal or fan club and how many girls he is capable of attracting. Indeed, Cruz was known as a loner before the shooting. He has earned a substantial amount of support from people who see him as a victim of the system, as groups have popped up in social media show. You know who are the victims of the system? I would say that the victims of the system are the 17 people killed. Now, what's the system we're talking about? The system that we're referring to, of course, is the FBI who failed, the schools that failed, the Obama administration that failed, because I've told you about this a number of different times. I'm not going to get into the whole conversation about how former President Obama forced the hand of a lot of schools and really ordered those schools and pressured schools, including the one that Nicholas Cruz shot up, stop with the pipeline of schools to prison. So stop arresting kids and stop punishing kids who are doing things that are wrong. Therefore, they don't suffer any kind of consequences. And that, of course, emboldens kids, and that's why violence against teachers is up, and that's why we're seeing shootings like the one that we saw in Florida. I'm just saying. I don't need to go through that again, though, because a lot of people have heard me do that. You can see it on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page if you don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, you could trace a lot of this stuff, a lot of the violence in schools, right back to Barack Hussein Obama. So you got all these people on social media that are talking about Cruz. Keep the letters coming because he can't wait to finally get them. One woman wrote, March 16th, hate mail is filtered out so no one can upset our boy. Hate is going to hate. Potatoes going to potate. What does that mean? Belle, do you know what that means? Potatoes going to potate? What is potate?
Potatoes going to POTUS?
I don't know. It says P-O-T-A-T-E.
I have no idea.
Google that. See what potate means. Potato's going to potate. Listen, these are people that are sticking up for Nicholas Cruz, so they're not the most ingenious of people, but maybe the joke's on me. Maybe that's a thing. Is potate something that the younger generation is
talking
about?
It means you can't stop people from doing what they do best. So if you're a negative person, you're going to be very good at it.
But how does that go with potatoes going to potate? I don't get.
It's just the alliteration is just meant to make it impactful.
Really? All right. Well, I don't know if that alliteration worked for the people who were reading that thing, but whatever. Anyway, so that's the deal. That is the latest on the shooting. Of course, we all know what's going on with the level of dialogue here in America. So we know all about the troubles that Laura Ingraham now faces. I think that the left has this whole thing that they're trying to do these days, and that is they are targeting Fox News. And they continue to look at Fox News, and they continue to target Fox News. You know what Fox needs to do? I hate to say this, but I wonder if at some point they need to just say, okay, you know what? We are subscription-based so that we can do whatever it is that we want to do without fear of political correctness taking aim at every single one of our advertisers, because that is what's happening. We know, I told you about this yesterday. You got David Hogg, right? You got this guy, and he's running around the country, and he's giving his speeches and everything else. And then Laura Ingraham, she said something to the effect of David Hogg in a tweet. He's whining about not being accepted to college. And I got a few rather terse responses to my comment yesterday. When I said, you know, in fairness, and trust me when I say I'm the last guy to stick up for David Hogg, but in fairness, he was not whining about the fact that he wasn't accepted to these four colleges in California. He said, you know, that had a very frankly mature response. He said, well, you know what? This is not something I'm focusing on. There's a lot of people that are trying to get into these colleges, and frankly, I'm interested in devoting myself to changing the world. Now, I also had some snarky comments about him changing the world and the fact that they think that they're changing the world, but that's all beside the point. So then Hogg decides when he sees these tweets, then all of a sudden he starts going after Laura Ingraham, and he starts calling for a boycott of advertisers. And there were seven advertisers that decided to bail on Laura Ingraham's Fox show. And so then she, of course, came out and apologized, and she did a bit of a dance, to be perfectly honest with you. And she tried to defend herself. And so she did apologize. And I believe it was a rather genuine apology. So then Cruz comes back and he says on Twitter, and I'm doing this all from memory, so I'm kind of paraphrasing. But basically what he said was apology not accepted. He said, you know, your apology is not accepted. You need to stop mudslinging at children and having an actual dialogue is what he said. And he wants Fox News to apologize for their treatment, Fox News' treatment of he and his friends as they've gone on this journey across America with all these marches and so forth and so on. So, yeah, I guess the ball is in Fox's court, but, you know, clearly, this is one of those things that we've talked about over and over again with these protests all across America. And that is for David Hogg and for Emma Gonzalez and for all these students across America. While I understand that he says all he wants is a rational dialogue, their actions tell us completely different. As a matter of fact, speaking of dialogue, did you see Alex Jones? Alex Jones's son is challenging David Hogg to a debate on gun control and on the Second Amendment. He said something to the effect of, you name the time, you name the place, let's get it on. And so far as I can see, David Hogg has not come out and said anything to respond to the offer to debate from the son of Alex Jones. It is 1:23 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. So I'm sitting here looking at a picture of about two dozen second graders holding these masks over their face of blackface. How do you think that's going to go over? Not real well in Atlanta. It's an Atlanta charter school. And yes, now they're having to apologize for a Black History program that featured second graders holding masks that depict traditional blackface, and said it's going to provide a cultural competency training for teachers. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm looking at some of these. This is kind of a weird. I don't even know what to think about this. There's one of these students, if I'm looking at the picture right, that is actually black. So you got a black student holding a blackface mask over their face. The performance, which I don't even know what to make about. I don't even know what to say about that. The performance, which featured children reciting Paul Laurence Dunbar's poem, We Wear the Mask, while holding paper masks in front of their faces, took place during a program hosted by the Kindezi School at Old Fourth Ward. Parents posted video and pictures that have now been shared thousands of times on social media and expressed concern about the appropriateness of the mask and its historical context. Now, I guess the question is, what does the poem mean, "We Wear the Mask"? Kindezi first posted a message on it, but, you know, oftentimes people have their outrage and they don't necessarily think about the outrage per se. They don't think it through. They just see a black mask and they get really mad. Kindezi, the school, first posted a message on his Facebook page earlier today saying it was reviewing the incident. It soon updated its statement with this. "This was a poor and inappropriate decision, and we sincerely apologize and accept responsibility for the hurt, the anger, the frustration, and the disappointment this has caused in the Kindezi community and the community at large." Yeah, I guess people calling the school and getting all mad and everything. The school said it is deeply committed to making sure that this never happens again. It said it will provide teacher education and cultural competency to ensure staff has a thorough understanding of our shared history regarding race and racism in America and how to engage in productive conversations with our students and the community, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you know, I would think that at this point, I'm not to go on and on about this because, good Lord, there's a black mask controversy. It's like every single day. Every single day, we're seeing some sort of a controversy about how somebody's upset because somebody has either blackface or some sort of a black mask or whatever it is. I mean, it's just that's why I rarely even read these things anymore, just because it's all the same thing over and over again. And you would think that some of these schools would know better by now. Even if they genuinely feel like there's no real reason why anybody should be upset over a black mask, well, here's in blackface, but here's what we know. I remember it was last year sometime, right? Was it Belmont? When you had these students, oh God, I remember this. Had a bunch of students, a bunch of black kids who go to the school president's school, the school president's home, and they were offended by cotton stalks. Remember that story? Where was I? I was in Hobby Lobby. I was in Hobby Lobby the other day, and I actually saw cotton stalks. And I said, "Is that what everybody was all upset about?" Yeah, that's. And I, you know, listen, I don't have a family with a history of being slaves, but I mean, I just come on. It's what is in these days. I almost bought one just to be rebellious, but I didn't. By the way, this is in the PressHerald.com. "It is the worst time in history to be a clown." And asking the question, perhaps it's rhetorical, not sure, haven't clowns suffered enough in today's society? Now, we all know that, I was talking to somebody the other day about, I guess more people are afraid of clowns than I really thought. I hate clowns. I'm not scared of them. I just find them annoying. But even when I was a kid, I didn't necessarily like clowns. But somewhere along the lines, clowns got really dark. Stephen King, the author of It and the murderous sewer-dwelling Pennywise, was scorned repeatedly at a recent clown convention. Isn't Pamela, was she the one that I know that's, Belle, do you remember? Was Pamela the one that was afraid of clowns? Somebody I know is afraid of clowns. Probably several people that I know are afraid of clowns.
I don't think so. It'd be pretty surprising if the clowns would be afraid of Pamela, not the other way around.
Isn't everybody afraid of Pamela?
Yes.
We mean that with all due love and respect, by the way.
Yes, Pamela, please don't come hit me.
So apparently now they had this whole, I remember what it was about Pamela. And by the way, Pamela worked a morning shift and all that, so she's off on a well-deserved break now. But we were talking about, Pamela and I have spoken a couple of different times about dating sites and this kind of thing. And some dude said,
"Okay, I'm wrong. I'm getting texts. She's afraid of clowns."
Oh, she is.
When's her birthday? We're getting a clown.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. We have got, you know what? We get her a birthday cake with a clown picture on it. That's what we need to do. I'm afraid to even look at my phone because I know she's probably blown up my phone. Oh, look at that. A text from Pamela. Yes. You know what she said? You know if Pamela texted me? This is terrible radio. Pamela texted me and she says, I'm afraid of clowns and I hate you. Thank you, Pamela. I appreciate that. And yes, a dude sent her a photograph of a clown as evidence as to why Pamela should go out with him. So there you go. Anyway, so they're asking this question. Haven't clowns suffered enough? They say that this has indeed been a terribly sad time for clowns. Now, I could come up with some sort of a snarky comment about the clowns on Capitol Hill, the clowns in Congress, and all this other kind of stuff, but I'm not going to bother to go there. That's a very easy short putt. But one of the things that I'm sure that they get into, the whole clown thing in this article, but you know, the last couple of years, right? I mean, we had all those in the lead up to it. Do you remember this? There's all the weird clown things that were happening across America. Where clowns were like attacking children and kids are getting all worked up and everything. You remember all that? It's so stupid. I mean, I wonder how much of that was, do we know, Bell? How much of that was fake news? Do you remember that when, because a lot of people called up the radio show and we were talking about this and a lot of people said, well, this is nothing more than publicity for Stephen King's It.
And they did something similar with, for Rob Zombie's movie, 31.
Yes, they did. So I just wonder how much of this was fake news. And
which kind of means it's sort of a passe promotion.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anyway, so apparently, and I'm not going to bother to get into this thing because honestly, I don't know. I think when we talk about clowns and all this other kind of stuff, the point of the article in the Press Herald is the fact that clowns are now becoming essentially virtually extinct. I mean, think about it. With Stephen King's It, with all of these stories of clown attacks over the last couple of years. And also, you know, if you're a clown, I'm assuming you're not allowed to use any kind of blackface. So I think there's a lot of clowns out there that are now former clowns because, you know, not a lot of people are hiring clowns for birthday parties anymore. Let's see, haven't circuses gone by the wayside? I'm trying to think now. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Didn't they go away? I think that they did.
Yeah, they're gone.
They did. Toast. So if you're a clown, I mean, where are you going to find work these days? I don't even know if you can find work these days. Because you got the circuses that are gone. You've got, you know, birthday parties. I mean, who are you going to have at your birthday party? You can have Spider-Man or Superman or Wonder Woman, Black Panther, or are you going to have a clown? I think most parents today would have, you know, some sort of a superhero, not a clown. So it's a tough day for clowns. Speaking of which, listen to this. I think this story, and I've been holding on to this story for a couple of days, but it was one of the more debated on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. A Georgia mom was so incredibly angry with her son for being entitled that she made her son wear clothing from Goodwill. Now, in doing so, and I'm going to tell you the story, but I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this right up front. What this mom was trying to do was trying to teach her son a lesson about how she's not entitled, and so how her son is not entitled, should not be entitled, and so she's going to teach her son a lesson. She's going to punish her son by making him wear Goodwill clothes. And that lesson in and of itself is giving the message to her son that Goodwill clothes are somehow bad. And so if you read some of the comments on the Facebook page, I didn't realize this because I'll be honest with you, even though I've been in Goodwill a time or two, I don't recall ever buying clothing from Goodwill. But here's the story. A gracious, they say, Georgia mom made her teenage son wear thrift clothes to classes for a week in hopes to teach him a life lesson about the value of a dollar and a good attitude. Okay, but I wonder if she really did that. Woman's name is Sierra Brittany Forney, and she took to her Facebook page. And here's the other thing. You know, I would say, parents, you know what? When you do some sort of a lesson for your kid, I don't know why, but I've got this thing about narcissism these days, and it's bugging the living crap out of me. And so when you turn your kid's punishment into a Facebook post, you are showing yourself, in my opinion, to be rather narcissistic. And you're throwing your kids right under the bus. But I do understand, unless I'm on a Facebook page, too. So trust me, I know. And I'm a talk show host. So I guess you could say that I have some sort of narcissism bred into me, although I don't know. I have such a self-loathing. I don't feel like I want anybody to look at me, but that's all beside the point. Anyway, Sierra Brittany Forney took to her Facebook page to share a comical snapshot of her 13-year-old son dragging his new clothing, new in quotation marks, along the floor of a Goodwill store in Hog Mountain, Georgia. In the picture post, which received nearly 600,000 Facebook user reactions as of Tuesday, and I got this, I guess, on Wednesday, Forney shared details about her reasoning for ordering her child to wear the cheap attire. She says, "This is funny. My 13-year-old son had been acting a little entitled, acting like he's too good to shop at Walmart or making snarky comments about kids at school who shop at the Goodwill and quite a few other things," the mom wrote to her Facebook page. She says, "I'm not going to tolerate that. So today, he took his own $20 to the Goodwill to buy clothing to wear the entire week to school. Whatever he found is what he would have to wear." Now, for the record, I would be willing to bet that if I open up the phone lines right now, you would have a ton of people saying, "You know what, there's a lot of really cool clothing at Goodwill. Some of it's retro, and you can look really hip and cool." Because every time Goodwill comes up, I always hear from the same folks, and we'll say, I think I stepped in it one day when I made some sort of a crack about Goodwill or something like that. And I heard from a whole bunch of folks. I think that was in Denver when I said that, actually. But anyway, and I learned very quickly, and I in the year since, I've been to a Goodwill store a time or two, just checking stuff out, because I like antiquing and things like that. And so, you know, and going into a Goodwill isn't antiquing, obviously, but I just like doing that kind of stuff. So the mom says he isn't happy, the boy. I'm sorry, Belle, did you just, my microphone just, is this thing important? Am I still on? What is this thing? All right. Something just happened to my microphone and something became unplugged. And I want to make sure I'm still on. You see this thing here? We've had horrible problems all day today. Anyway, the mom isn't happy, and the kid has shed a few tears as he's walking around a Goodwill with these clothes. But she says, "I firmly believe in 15 years, the kid's going to look back and laugh the day his mom made him shop at Goodwill." She went on to explain what she hopes to her children. They will realize there is more to life than money. But again, it all goes back to the fact that what you did, I would say to the mom, what you did was you made the kid wear Goodwill clothing as a punishment. Thereby, what you're saying is that he is too good to wear Goodwill clothing. You are saying that as an elitist yourself, you are looking down on Goodwill and their clothing. That's all I'm saying. So I think she sort of proved herself to be an elitist by punishing her kid, by making or forcing the kid to wear Goodwill. When I guarantee you, there is somebody listening to my voice right now that does shop at Goodwill, and they could afford to go to other places to shop. But you know what? There's all kinds of good stuff at Goodwill. And some people have to shop at Goodwill. Other people, they shop there because they know that they can find cool styles. I know that. There's all kinds of retro stuff that's out there. Anyway, she says that she takes part, the mom does, she takes her part of the blame when it comes to her son's recent attitudes of feeling elitist, adding that she has given her kids name brand clothing for a long time. And I think that is something that a lot of parents struggle with. I know that I did when my kids were growing up. I mean, they're adults now. But, you know, my kids were growing up, we did struggle with that. It was all about a number of different things. It was about whether or not to buy them name brand clothing, devices, you know, cell phones and smartphones and computers and tablets and all this other kind of stuff. They're gaming as well. So she's hoping that this helped her son to become a better man. We all know about those defining moments in parenting, and I don't know if this is a defining moment for her son or not. You know, one of the things also that I would say is when you do something for just like a week, it's almost, I would say, insulting to people who actually have to live a lifestyle of shopping at Goodwill. And here's what I mean by that. You know, a while back, I was reading a story about Justin Bieber. You remember Justin Bieber was going to, he's going to be homeless for a night or two, live on the streets of Los Angeles. And we see this all the time. I think who played Potts in Iron Man? What's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow was another one. You know, you got all these Hollywood liberal types who want to go live on the streets of wherever godforsaken place they live so that they can see what it's like. And it's nothing but a publicity stunt. But I have always said that I find that insulting because they know that they can tough it out for a night. Then they go back to their, you know, 60,000 square foot house and they're, you know,
it's like claiming that
by
that
a chef and so forth.
Camping is roughing it.
Yeah,
you're not roughing it if you get the car and go home.
And it's insulting to people who actually have to live that kind of a lifestyle. So this is kind of that, too. You know, it's really a punishment if you make the kid do it for life. But here's how you, in my opinion, here's what you really need to do. Instead of doing it for a week or a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is, teaching your kids the value of a dollar and teaching your kids how not to be an elitist, that is a lifestyle choice that you have to make. You know, sometimes you have to look at your financial situation and you have to think, you know, I can afford a lot more than, you know, than this, you know, smaller home, or I can afford to buy my kids better clothes. But I want to teach my kids that, you know what, just because something is more expensive doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. And it goes on and on. But anyway, that's one of the stories. You can check it out on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. One of the things, let's get back to politics for a moment, because there is a continuing debate going on in the world of politics regarding Nancy Pelosi. I love this headline, and this is in the BusinessInsider.com, and it's going to send a chill down your spine once I read it to you, and it's coming up next. It has to do with Nancy Pelosi, and it's straight ahead on WTN. 1:56 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Very quickly, I want to say hello to Jason in Hendersonville. Jason, you got a comment on the mom who made her son, entitled son, shop at Goodwill. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think you missed something, or maybe just kind of looked at it wrong.
As a shock, go ahead.
If it was that she just picked out of the air, okay, what am I going to do to punish my son? And think, okay, well, Goodwill would be a punishment. But I don't think that's exactly what she did, because you said that she said that he was making fun of other kids that were wearing clothes from Walmart and Goodwill, thinking right. That he was better than them. And I think what her thing was, instead of saying, oh, Goodwill's a terrible thing, that's punishment, I think it was more like, well, he was making fun of those kids. And so she was going to show him that he's not any better than those other kids because he could wear the same clothes.
Yeah. And Jason, that's a fair, valid point. When somebody else called, and thanks for the call, Jason. Somebody else sent me a note on Facebook. And he says, I think this mother was very lenient on her son. If I had a child that said he was too good for Goodwill clothes, says I would make him buy all his clothes from Goodwill, then make him donate his name brand clothes to Goodwill. It's all about humbling and putting them in their place. And thank you to Chase for that. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting that in this time of political upheaval and the Second Amendment and all these other kinds of things, this was one of those conversations that led to a lot of discussion on Facebook. You can check out the story on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. You can also send me an email, dan@997wtn.com. Follow me on Twitter @Dan Mandis Show. Got a lot more straight ahead.